The state of Alaska and builders of the engines for the fast ferry say they are close to settling the long-running lawsuit. Attorneys for both sides say they have been working for the last 2 weeks to reach an agreement, but they asked the judge in the case yesterday not to take the trial off the court calendar. At least not yet. The state alleges that the high-performance diesel engines for the fast ferries Fairweather and Chenega were defective. That has been disputed by the German manufacturer MTU Friedrichshafen and its American subsidiary MTU Detroit Diesel, now known as Tognum America. The lawsuit was filed 3 years ago next month. Trial in the case is expected to start April 8th. Another court hearing on the potential settlement agreement is scheduled for Friday. The settlement is being described as very complex, not just a payment of a lump sum to the state. It's also expected to define the future relationship between the state and MTU for continued maintenance and repairs of the engines. A verdict reached yesterday in the Adair Kennedy Memorial Park vandalism trial.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Ashley Johnston, guilty of criminal mischief in the third degree as charged in count one of the indictment. Count two, we, the jury, find the defendant, Ashley Johnston, guilty of criminal trespass in the second degree as charged in count two of the indictment. Count three, we, the jury, find the defendant, Ashley Johnston, not guilty of arson in the third degree as charged in count three of the indictment.
The criminal mischief charge is a felony and criminal trespass is a misdemeanor. The arson charge that the 19-year-old Johnston was acquitted on is a felony. The seven men and five women on the panel deliberated for a total of about 8 hours Friday afternoon and yesterday before returning with a verdict. Jurors were individually polled and all confirmed that it was the true and correct verdict. Johnston, Ryan Martin, and Dylan West allegedly climbed the fence to gain access to the turf field at Adair Kennedy, where they broke into an announcer's booth above the bleachers, discharged a fire extinguisher, and then descended to the field and started a fire. The June 19th incident caused as much as $30,000 damage to supplies and equipment used in laying new turf at the field. Johnston's trial, which started last week, featured a playback of an interview that Johnston had with investigators about a week after the fire. Johnston initially said that she did not remember the incident, but then provided apparent details of the crime to investigators. Video surveillance appeared to show all three defendants approaching the concession stand and hopping the fence to access the field, but none of the footage shows any of the three actually starting the fire that consumed at least one pallet of adhesive and destroyed an infill spreader trailer. Johnston's sentencing has been set for April 8th. West and Martin are scheduled to stand trial April 1st on charges related to the vandalism. Ryan West could spend 4 to 7 years in prison for the death of a friend nearly 2 years ago. Yesterday, West entered a plea to a reduced charge of criminally negligent homicide.
How do you plead to this charge?
Guilty, Your Honor.
West had been charged with second-degree murder in connection with the June 2011 death of Gabriel Cart. Trial had been set to start in the case yesterday. Police believe alcohol was a factor in the accident at mile 35 of Glacier Highway. West is now 27 years old. Cart was 19 when he died. Criminally negligent homicide is a Class B felony, while second-degree murder is an unclassified felony with a sentence of up to 99 years. West will be subject to open sentencing, which means that the judge will have the discretion to go as low as 2 years and as high as the maximum of 10 years. He's expected to be fined as much as $100,000. As part of an agreement with prosecutors for violating his probation, West will also serve an additional 2 years for each of two previously suspended sentences from incidents in 2009. Those previously suspended sentences will be served partially concurrent with a composite term of 36 months. While the hearing, West was polite and responsive and indicated during a long inquiry by Superior Court Judge Luis Menendez that he understood the finer details of the plea agreement and the rights that he was giving up.
I am pleading guilty to a criminally negligent homicide, 4 to 7 open sentencing. And then I'm agreeing to a flat time sentence to my prior case for action of operating a vehicle without earning assistance and a theft two with 2 years on each account with 1 year ran concurrent with one of the other charges.
And 36 months to serve.
Correct, sir.
You get credit for your time. You were on the SIS, credit for good time and credit for time served, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
West's probation from those earlier cases was effectively revoked when he made his plea to criminally negligent homicide yesterday. As much as 3 hours has been set aside for West's sentencing hearing on April 15th. A trial date in May has been set for a Sea Alaska board member and University of Alaska Southeast Administration official arrested for driving under the influence. 42-year-old Joseph Galen Nelson was pulled over near 12th Street and Glacier Highway at about 2 o'clock in the morning of February 9th. Officers said that he witnessed Nelson's black Toyota FJ Cruiser swerving, accelerating quickly, and speeding. Nelson allegedly had watery eyes and said he had three drinks. Officers said that Nelson failed sobriety tests and registered a .091 blood alcohol content. That's over the legal limit of .08 for intoxication. According to police records, Nelson's vehicle was impounded. According to court records, Nelson did not appear for arraignment 3 days later. Instead, his attorney entered a not guilty plea for misdemeanor driving under the influence. Trial is set for May 21st with a pretrial hearing scheduled for a week earlier. Nelson has been a member of the Board of Directors of Sea Alaska since 2003. He's currently employed as Vice Chancellor of Enrollment Management and Student Affairs at UAS. 3 years probation to be served and over $34,000 in restitution to be paid by an Anchorage woman convicted of forging signatures for union interest cards. 32-year-old Skye Rubidoux McRoberts was convicted in Anchorage Superior Court yesterday on a charge of second-degree forgery. State prosecutors say she has already paid half of the restitution to the State Labor Department and the University of Alaska. The forged interest cards were part of an effort 3 years ago by Alaska State Employees Association to organize nearly 2,000 unorganized employees of the university system. State House passed a bill yesterday that would make it a felony for federal agents to enforce new gun control measures within the state. APRN's Alexandra Gutierrez has more on the story.
By the end of the debate, a third of the representatives in the House had offered their views on a measure that would essentially ban any new federal gun control regulations in the state. Some talked about the bill as a response to federal overreach or the fiscal impact of the bill. But more than anything, the back and forth focused on whether the bill is even legal. Representative Andy Josephson, an Anchorage Democrat, argued that the bill violated the Constitution's Supremacy Clause and wouldn't hold up under legal scrutiny. He says he can't support the bill because he sees it as a breach of his oath of office.
I think this is secessionist talk. That's what I think it is.
The bill essentially holds that any restrictions on gun ownership or limits on ammunition purchases would be in conflict with the Second Amendment and shouldn't apply in Alaska because of that. It comes as a reaction to President Barack Obama's promotion of gun control measures in the wake of the Sandy Hook school shooting. Similar bills have been introduced in a dozen other states. Representative Doug Isaacson, a Republican from North Pole, voted for the bill, and he took offense at the claim that the Alaska legislature was flirting with secessionism.
But we take this as a serious trust, each one of us. That's why we're here. And we must push back. There has to be a time when we say it has gone too far, and not to be considered secessionist in that process.
Republican women were especially vocal in their support of the bill. They all wore matching lace and camouflage scarves that had been picked up at Nordstrom's, and many stood up to say that the bill was needed in defense of the Second Amendment. Representative Gabrielle Ledoux of Anchorage was among them, and she defended the bill against those calling it unconstitutional by pointing out that states have passed marijuana initiatives that go against U.S. law, and the federal government hasn't interfered.
This bill sends an important message. And yes, we all do know that the federal constitution trumps the state constitution and trumps state law. But we also know that it is very, very difficult for the federal authorities to enforce federal law when they're getting no cooperation from the state authorities.
But some Democrats had questions over what would happen if anyone did try to enforce the bill. Representative Les Guerra of Anchorage expressed concern that state troopers could face time in federal prison if they attempted to comply with the legislation by interfering with the work of a federal agent. And Representative Max Gruenberg of Anchorage added that a situation like that could get the state involved in an expensive legal battle. Gruenberg also questioned why the House was spending time on legislation that was unlikely to be enforced when it had more pressing issues like oil taxes to deal with.
It's unconstitutional. It's unenforceable. It's really distracting us as a legislature from the most important issues facing this state at this time.
The bill ultimately passed the House 31-5, with two minority Democrats breaking with their caucus to support the measure. It now moves on to the Senate. In Juneau, I'm Alexandra Gutierrez.
Oil prices are falling this morning, with Brent crude at $113.34 a barrel and West Texas Intermediate crude at $92.46 a barrel. Gold is down $3 in New York spot market trading at $1,590.60 an ounce, and silver is also down about a quarter at $28.74 an ounce. Forest Service is starting the process of updating the management plan for the Chugach National Forest in South Central Alaska. Forest Service has been holding community meetings this month about the 5.4 million acre forest. About 40 people gathered for a recent meeting in Soldotna. Several expressed concern about access to their mining claims, as roads had recently been restricted. Others talked about improved snow machines encroaching on areas previously used by skiers. Kenai Bureau officials say they'll be working with the Forest Service throughout the three-year process of updating the forest management plan for the Chugach. An Alaska state trooper alerted by a 911 cell phone hang-up call was able to find a Wasilla man who plunged off the Sterling Highway down a 40-foot ravine. Trooper Joseph Miller early Friday morning went looking for someone in trouble in an area known to have poor cell phone reception. He noticed a disturbance in the snow near mile 62 and stopped. Trooper spokesperson Megan Peters says Miller heard cries for help at the bottom of the ravine. Miller found 36-year-old Jason Wallace, who had suffered a leg injury and tried unsuccessfully to call for help on his cell phone. Trooper Miller warmed Wallace with a parka until an ambulance arrived. Wallace was treated at Central Peninsula General Hospital in Soldotna for the leg injury and exposure. You're listening to Morning Edition here on KTOO Juneau. Forecast for the capital city calls for some rain and snow, with as much as an inch of snow possible today and another inch possible tonight. Temperatures between 33 and 37 degrees, and temperatures tomorrow between 32 and 37 degrees.